Well, bless you, saints. Welcome you in the name of the Lord. Trust you haven't eaten too much. Truly, you have. We don't want any sleepers in the graveyard, sure. The spirit is willing, but the weak is flesh. The flesh is weak, sorry. Shall we just welcome our Lord here this afternoon? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just welcome you, Lord, once again. Lord, as we come before you, Lord. Lord, in humble adoration, Lord Jesus, of your mercy and your grace unto us, Lord. And we just pray that you would come by your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, and minister to each heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know, Lord, what we have need of, Lord, this afternoon. And we just give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for the light, Lord, that you've given us in this evening time, Lord Jesus. The message of the hour, Lord Jesus, we just commit all things. Lord, those that have left, Lord, we just pray a travelling mercy upon them, Lord, and those that might be listening in as well. Commit all things into your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. Should we just stand and sing so you don't fall asleep? Number 234, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood? Are you truly trusting in His cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood?
Believe that? Tell you what, I'm hinging on that. Everything is on that blood. Praise the Lord. Let's just keep in mind there will be testimonies from Tauranga. So we'll have those in a little bit. And item, I believe, from Sister Pauline. Yep. Okay, let's sing number 283, Living Below.
Living below. This so sinful world, hardly a comfort.
Where we go anyway, not in the end, but now. Let's sing Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, and then we'll have Sister Pauline's item.
Time is filled with swift transition. Lord of earth and moon can stand. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated at this time. Thank you, Sister Pauline. Just keep in mind, we'll be having testimonies after Sister Pauline's song.
To Calvary.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful that He looked beyond your faults and saw your need? With any testimonies of the Lord's goodness, what He's doing in your life? This afternoon, one from Sister Mill, and then we'll shift to the other side of the aisles here.
Oh, I'd like to praise the Lord. This is not my testimony. It's Michelle's testimony, but I was very blessed when she told me. There's a lady in Whanganui that's been a Christian for about 4 months, and she often used to walk up the road past Dean and Michelle's place, and she was up there, and she knew that the house that they built was on swamp land, which was true. So she was curious one day, and she went in and she asked about the church and about the house. And so Michelle told her all about it, and she invited her to church. So she came along to church and quite enjoyed it, and she came again the next week. And I think she came three times, but anyway, she was there and quite happy there. But then the Mocklands, who go to Dean's Fellowship, they live on the other side of Whanganui River, and Dean lives on this side, their opposite side, and Mocklands are on a farm. And this lady was driving around, and she said, "Lord, where do you want me to go to church?" And she saw this car coming out of the paddock. She says, "I'll just follow that person. If they're going to church," she says, "that's where you want me to go." She had no idea who it was. So she followed this lady round and round. She's out in the country a bit, Susie was. And so she followed, and where would the Lord take her? Of course, to where she'd been going. So she was very blessed. This lady was very blessed, and she said she would like to take her husband along as well. I thought that was just fantastic. She followed the leading of the Lord, and the Lord, I thought that was marvellous. I thank the Lord for that. But while I'm here, I want to say this. The land that Dean's got the little fellowship there and his house on, he bought off the Hell's Angels, which was on the corner. So there's Hell's Angels on the corner, and then there's Heavenly Angels just boundarying that. So I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord.
We serve a living God, don't we? Amen. Is there any others? There we go. I'm from the brother there.
Praise the Lord. Well, very short. To thank God for revealing this Malachi 4 end time message, gospel to me. To reveal my name to me. I know that I came from God and I'm going back to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm from Sister June. Thank you for the ball.
Well, when I knew we were having a Saturday night meeting this week, or last week, I thought, oh, I don't know if I can go. I thought because it might be a bit painful sitting when I was so tired. But anyway, so I just thought, well, I'll go. And I just praise the Lord because I had no pain last night sitting here, absolutely none. And I give the Lord all the praise and the thanks.
We sold house and we had to move into another property. Going back a year ago, and one Wednesday night, and I remember Brother Albert preaching and sharing, and he'd mentioned about asking the Lord. And one meeting he had, he asked everyone to ask specifically what they wanted, and every request that everyone had was answered. So I had a request, Lord, we've got to have a house to move into. I'd like to buy one. I've sold it, and I'd like to buy one. And I had such a quickening that the Lord was going to provide us with a house to live in that we have purchased. And it was that sixth sense that Brother Brandon talks about, faith. And I was so sure in my heart. Then 2 days before we were to move out of our property, we visited a house, and my wife Rachel and I both had quite a witness that we liked the house. So within 2 days when we had to move, we purchased the house, and I could see the hand of the Lord in it. Rachel left and went to New Plymouth for a holiday with the kids. And as she left, her witness was, "Look, I don't want to leave because I feel the presence of the Lord, you know, the presence that had given us that place, and that's where she wanted to be." I had that witness also. So the Lord had answered our prayer. Supernaturally, He does it. And we must listen to the Lord and follow when he's quickening, when He's leading. So otherwise you can lose some money in a rental property where you have to pay a bond for it. So I just encourage you to seek the Lord, ask Him, and then when He tells you, just walk that way. It'll save you a few dollars, and you'll feel blessed and anointed because it's His provision, as He provided for you. Yeah, so just encouragement, maybe a testimony to His glory, and encouragement to you all. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. One from Sister Louise as well. Thank you, Brother Paul. I mean, run around everywhere.
Praise the Lord. I think most of our fellowship has already heard this testimony, but not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, we had a really lovely midweek meeting, and the presence of the Lord was really there. Just as a bit of a lead up to that, I had been having really terrible back problems. I'd had an x-ray, and I knew I had a bulging disc in my lower back, and I'd been doing work that was sort of aggravating it. And I was in so much pain at certain times that it was like it would bring tears to my eyes. It was excruciating. And I'd go home and I'd get my son to crack my back, and it would kind of go, make all these horrible noises, and then it'd feel better for a while, and then it would get worse again. And for about 3 weeks prior to that, 3 or 4 weeks prior to that, Brother Albert had given his testimony about having his back healed, and about how he was on the operating table at Tauranga Hospital, still trusting the Lord, but how the doctor had said to him, you know, if I was you, I wouldn't have this operation. And he jumped up, and you know, he still had the pain, but 3 days later he knew, like he already knew he was healed, and 3 days later he woke up and all the pain was gone. And he, this particular week, he had said, you know, I've given this testimony before, and I was thinking, like every time he gave it, I was thinking, that can be my testimony too, you know, like that the Lord had healed me. So I was expecting it, like I knew it was coming. So this Wednesday night, I was sitting in church, and the presence of the Lord was really beautiful, and I felt this tingling up my spine, and I knew I'd been healed. So I'm really grateful to the Lord for His healing. I've had Satan doing the little niggle thing, and I'm going, no, I'm healed. So, you know, without that healing power of God, you know, I feel really sorry for the world. You know, I don't know how they do it without Him, but anyway, praise the Lord for His healing grace.
Praise the Lord. No others? You know, I was just thinking, praise the Lord, you can be so specific with your prayer, can't you? How accurate our Lord is in what you ask for. You can be really, really specific about what you want from our Lord, and He knows, and He can bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing one more, and then I'll ask Brother Harold to come. Let's sing number 258. Oh, I want to see Him.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson throne.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Held.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see the Dutchman getting really into it back there. Praise the Lord. Brother Chris is a Dutchman through and through. Yeah. Knew his father and his mother. She was British, actually, wasn't she? Your dad was Dutch. Yeah. But it's good to have you folks here. We look forward to just a few moments before we depart to come around the Word of God. And just want to say we've been really blessed to have our visitors all here and meeting some new ones. And a doctor and a lawyer in our midst. My, my, my. Am I on, Nancy? Oh, it sounds like it. but the most important one is to have is the Lord Jesus. He's the most important one to have here. And I just love him with all my heart. I just don't believe it's going to be too long. And he'll come. He'll come without warning. He'll come in an hour when you think not. And it'll be over. So therefore, he said, be therefore ready, for an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Really appreciate Brother Albert Bronwyn, the church coming over here. It's a sacrifice, so we appreciate it, brother. It's been a real blessing to everybody. We hope you do it next week too. Anytime you feel led. We'll even allow you to bring your motorbike if you want to. That'll make it faster. You can ride on the back, brother one. That'll be wonderful. Anyway, here we go. Matthew 5:14. Jesus speaking. Now, this is a profound statement. You are the light of the world. Did he say that or not? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we just pray that God will bless that word to our hearts. I also want to read from Matthew 25:7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I want to speak about you are the light of the world. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, may you just bless us and help us again, Lord. This afternoon, Lord, just to bring your word and quicken it to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that whatever we need to know, you'll make it clear to each one. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's really easy to interpret what's been said. But the first thing we need to establish, Jesus clearly states that we are the light of the world. And I think there's another scripture there that says that he is the light of the world. So you say, what's going on? But we know that Jesus, he is the true light, and he wants us to be his reflectors. Amen. Of his light and life. The Lord needs eyes, the Lord needs our ears, the Lord needs our mouths to declare him to others. It's a bit like a vineyard. The vineyard's growing up, the vine's growing up. But you know what? It's got to have branches. Otherwise, there's no fruit. And we are the he's the vine, we are the branches. And he needs us to produce fruit that others may partake of and be blessed and saved. So to me, this is a very grave responsibility, I feel, to think about it. So when you when you gave your light to Christ Jesus, your candle was lit. That's what happened. It was lit. Something happened. It wasn't just I got a salvation card or something. No, you were lit when you gave your life to Christ. And Jesus is expecting your lit light to give light to the world. And that is a grave responsibility. He does not want your light to fail to give light. As it says here in 15 of our reading, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it may give light unto all that are in the house. You have a light to see with, a light to show where the way is. God doesn't give you a light to put in the cupboard. God wants you to be a light. Great responsibility. And so I just pray the Lord will show us these things very clearly. If you have a testimony of salvation, we need to get it out and share it. Do you believe that?
Amen.
When was the last time? When was the last time you ever spoke to somebody about the Lord? No, you don't have to answer me. When was the last time that you actually spoke to somebody about their soul? And he says, we are going to let that light shine so men can see. Not bury our gift of salvation, but share it to all you can. Now this light will be seen. You say, I can't preach. I can't speak to people. But the light you have in you must shine out of you. Because it is a light, it's his light that does the shining. That's where the light comes from him in you. You've heard the saying, just let it shine. That's all you can do. You can't add to that. You're just going to let the light shine. And he does the shining. You get him in there, he'll do the shining. The most effective witness is not your preaching at people, but living the life of Christ who is in you. It's not the preaching, it's the living the life. It's often quoted, live me a sermon, don't preach me one. This is true, but we might as well listen to it. All the light does is just shine. It's wonderful, isn't it? We don't have to imitate being a Christian. If the light's in you, it will shine out of you. And this life in you will be seen by all. Do you know that people around you are reading you every day? This became a reality to me some time ago. You're like a walking book. You mightn't think it, but you are. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. They are reading you. You don't even know it, but you're on display every day. They don't read your sermon, but watch carefully how you live. That's what does the talking, not the sermon. It's the living. They also watch your attitude. They watch your actions. Even the way you dress, they watch. Do you know that? Oh, yes. I've got a few testimonies on that. Dress like a Holy Ghost saint of God. Or do we dress like the world? Want to be like the world, the latest fashion or whatever. Some say God doesn't care how we dress. The Bible says otherwise. Do you know in the Old Testament, the priests were told exactly how to dress by God through Moses. This is the way I want you to dress, the tunics. I want you to do a certain stitch. God cared about it. He did. Who knows that? Who's read the Old Testament? In great detail did God go into that. In the New Testament, we read this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9, just talking about dress. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So, brothers and sisters, this is important. They watch how you dress. It's very important. I could say a lot of things about that. But if I came up here like I'd just been to the beach, you'd be stumbled. You'd all go, oh. And yet we do that. People do that. They dress just anyhow. Doesn't matter. But when you come to the house of God especially, I think it's really important to dress properly. Who believes this?
Amen.
Amen. Not going overboard, but just staying on the parallel. They also watch your conversation, how you speak. Never swearing. Christians don't swear. I'm sorry to say this, but I felt led to. I've heard people claim to be Christians as rearing foul, using foul language. That is a terrible, disgusting testimony to the Lord. You forget your preaching. They just shut down when they hear that. They can't figure that one out. We should always have a clean conversation. As we read in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The Amplified Bible says, let no foul or polluting language or evil word or unwholesome or unworthy or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Our words can say we are a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I go to this church or that church. The brother and sister, our lives tell the truth. That's sobering stuff. Who believes that? Amen. You say what you like. They'll look straight past all your words and say, hey, but what's this? What's that? So true. If the light of God is in you, the way you live will declare it. It's like having an apple tree. You got an apple tree there? And with a sign at the bottom of it saying, I am an apple tree. This happens, brother, every day. I am an apple tree. But when others look, they see oranges on it. And that confuses people. You say you're a Christian, but there's a different fruit. Who believes this? It's the truth, bro. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not here to pat you on the back. It's for me as much as for you. When people look at this, what do they believe? Your words or your life? They don't even hear your words. They just see your life. It's so loud. There's so many other examples that we can talk about, but I believe we understand what I'm saying. Now the question comes, Jesus says here in 16 of our reading, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There it is. And say good sermons. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, what if your light is not shining? All we can say is, it's a tragedy of tragedies. If you're in amongst people at work or wherever you are and your light is not shining. We can lead people to Calvary. Sorry, we can't lead people to Calvary or to salvation if the lights are gone out. Instead, we lead them into a ditch of confusion. And I want to read to you from Luke 6:39. As Jesus said, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? If Jesus said we are the light of the world, we desperately need to keep our lamp trimmed and clear. I have to do it every day. And so do you. There's no escape. We can hide under a church. We can hide under a belief. Well, I'm in the message, or something like that. People are not looking at that. They're looking at the fruit. They're looking at what they see. The way you behave, your attitude to a smutty joke. Whether you crack a smile, I tell you, the world are not stupid. They've got more discernment than we give them credit for. They can tell whether you love them or whether you judge them. It's the truth. If Jesus said we are the light of the world, we are the light of the world. We desperately need to keep our lamp trimmed and clear. Some were talking with the Lord. Then something happened. They were walking with him, rather. And something happened. In Matthew 25:7, and all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. They're all virgins, all claiming to be the bride, all going out to meet the bridegroom. And half of them, their lamps went out. Is that what it says? Matthew 25, let's turn to it, Nancy. 25:7-8, don't want you to take my word for it. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Our light is diminished. We are no longer a testimony to people. What a terrible thing happened to us who have been given the light. Through and through carelessness, we allow our lamp to go out, endangering many precious souls. If we had a revelation of the endangerment we bring upon people by misbehaving, saying one thing and acting another. I'm very challenged about this. I don't think we should even fool around and loose talk. We are believers. We have been born of a heavenly kingdom. We're going to a heavenly home. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be different people. We're not of the world. We're of the kingdom of God. May God give us and allow us grace to quickly correct our state. I just want to say in closing, I said I'd be short. These are serious days we're living in. The world's desperately grasping for reality. You see them down the street, your next door neighbor. We're seeing them all over the place coming and seeking, wanting to know more about God. Why? Because they know the world's finished. We're going to be serious. Precious people are dependent on yours and my life. They are dependent upon it. They're depending on you, and God's depending on you to shine the light. You are the light of the world. To be a lighthouse in this very darkened world. I say, little lights of God, let us consult our Heavenly Father. Let's consult Him and ask Him to give us another opportunity to shine His light. While there is still time and the mercy doors are open. Finally, how will we feel on Judgment Day When everyone comes up before judgment, everyone will be reviewing the judgment, and you'll be there and I'll be there. And a person comes up, they give a testimony, and they say, Lord, I knew them for 20 years, and they never told me about you. Never told me about you. I know a true testimony of a man who used to work in a workshop. And he worked across the bench, Brother Tim, of another tradesman for 30 years. And this man came to find the Lord, this other man. And when he went back to work, he came to find out this other man he had been for 30 years. He never knew he was a Christian. A light had gone out. He had never told him that he was a believer in Christ. We're going to be all responsible, good and bad. What have you done with the light? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. May God help us all to polish that light a bit more. Make a determination in our heart. I just say to my wife, you know, I know Brother Albert's quick to testify out in the street. He's got his office on the street. People come in, tells them about the Lord. Just as opportunity arises, of course. And I think that's what we all should be doing. When did you last speak to somebody about the Lord? I know Brother Lee does. He hasn't had too many comebacks, as it were. But he might be a sower. Others are reapers. We're all got a part to play. And we're all responsibility to go tell. You are the light of the world. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon, Lord. Quite a sobering thought, actually. You're looking to me, Lord, to be a testimony for you. All those from Tauranga, from Wellington, or wherever they're from, they are responsible to be a light, a spokesman for thee. Because we will have to answer one day, Lord. What did we do with the opportunity we were given? You bring people to our door. We fail to speak to them. Or let the light shine. Even just let the light shine. I pray, Lord, you'll help every brother and sister here, Lord. May we not fail you. May we go with you all the way. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we just stand to sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. You know that one, Sister, Brother Peter. Thank you, Sister Bronwyn. She plays the organ so well, doesn't she? And we appreciate her filling in for Sister June at this time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. No turning back. We're going to sing this again. I'm going to ask Brother Albert if he'd like to come and just say goodbye and whatever he feels to say. And then close in prayer for us, Brother Albert, if that'd be good for you to. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before.
Be seated. No turning back. I tell you what, when you see the finish line,
yes,
you get encouraged.
Yes.
But don't get complacent.
That's right.
I just like to share this. I spoke to a mountaineer,
yeah,
and he climbed many, many places, and he's seen some dangerous situations, and he saw some ice glacier path coming over the track. He said he didn't walk down there. He walked around it. When he came back down from the mountain, it was down. You know, it's broken off. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But that's when he said most accidents happen just before the peak. People see it, and they get excited, and they run for it, you know, and they're not careful.
Yeah.
And you know, the devil likes to set a trap for you right at the end. You're just about there. He wants to trip you over.
Yeah.
And it's so important that we just keep steady with the Word of God, step by step.
Yeah.
If he says run, run, but step by step.
Amen.
And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And I think we need to go step by step, even in this late hour, step by step. Just keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the Word.
Yes,
and don't get excited, you know, like many people have done that. They, even 50, 60 years ago, they sold everything and moved up in some remote area. The Lord's coming. We're waiting for the Lord's coming.
Right.
And rendered themselves useless to be a witness, to be a light to anybody else. And I believe, I think Brother Branham said, you know, if you know the Lord's coming tomorrow, you still plant your potatoes today.
Yes.
You know, you don't change. You just keep on living for the Lord. You cannot say, I suddenly change. I know the Lord will come then and then, so I change then. No, just live your life. Let your light shine and live your life. And don't get too carried away.
Amen.
Because it's interesting days we live in.
Amen.
Interesting days. And just one other thought I just had. You know, we believe to be the bride of Christ, to go with Him when He comes.
Yes.
We go and be translated, meet Him in the air.
Hallelujah.
I believe that's the bride of Christ. Now, naturally in the world, it's a reflection of what's happening spiritually. And if you've noticed the last 20, 30 years, they've taken husband and wife out of the equation. It's partnership.
Yep. Right.
I just want to say, you're not in a partnership with God.
That's right.
it's my turn to have a good time tonight. I'll go a bit of relaxation or whatever it is. It's not a partnership. It's a relationship. And it's so important that we don't fall into those traps. You see, this partnership, even if you fill in your tax form, there's not husband or wife, there's partner. You know, it's taking it out of the equation. But that is because what's happening spiritually. You know, you probably will find very soon there are three genders on there. You know, because spiritually people falling away from the things of God and naturally will actually see it like that. So it's a spiritual thing manifested naturally. So never fall into the trap like being a partnership with God. You're in a relationship, in a love relationship. And it's a wonderful thing. And the scripture says, you know, even if your mother or father would leave you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He makes a vow with you. He is true to his vow. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy, you know, he remains faithful even if we are unfaithful. So never think you're right with God because he answers your prayers. It's just because he's faithful to his own word. It's a relationship. You love him. He loves you. It's not a question he loves you. So let's be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we just pray before we go? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of fellowship with the brethren here in Gisborne. And I thank you for being in our midst and encouraging us just to go on. And it was so lovely to see some of the old saints who've been here the last 40 years and still battling on, never forsaking the faith in you. Lord, I just want to thank you for encouraging us and pray now for traveling mercies for every one of us and that we may meet again and just commit us into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
Just sing the song, shall we? Brother Peter's playing, I love you, Lord. And then we can depart. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Once more as we go our way.